Let's do the 60-second savings challenge. Step one, download Rocket Money. Step two, link your accounts and see every subscription you're paying for. Tap one you don't use and cancel it. That's money back every month. Step three, create a financial goal. $50 every paycheck, or let the app automatically move small amounts of cash when you can afford it. In a week, you'll forget you set it up. In a month, you'll see real dollars piling up. In a year, you'll be shocked at how much money you've saved. Bonus challenge, upload an internet or phone bill and let Rocket Money try to lower it. You only pay if they find you savings. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. Make saving money the resolution you actually keep. Start the 60-second savings challenge at rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
We're going to cause trouble. Scott Farrell is calling the shots from the sideline. We're going to make fun of people. We're going to hurt people's feelings. It's Farrell on the bench. I believe in whipped cream with everything. It's pain-free Friday. Farrell's doling out minutes on the mahogany, waxing it up. 100, 200, a bad seat, a broken eight, a bad apple with a bad attitude, hanging around a bunch of bad letters, bad tape, bad lock, bad dude, bad breath, bad attention, bad vibes. We are live in the Farrell Appalachia, right across the river and through the woods from where Granny's been in the hospital for a month and a half. She hasn't been eating. She doesn't like her doctors, but she loves when I bring her a jar full of Candyland Hydro Star in New York City, the Big Apple. Ooh. People dressed in plastic bags, the rented traffic, some kind of fashion shake up should do be. All my friends that come around, let the touch a party up. Rats on the west side, bed bugs uptown, with a mess, this tad's a tatter. My brain's splattered all over Manhattan, should do be shake out. Hey, what's gigging? It's Farrell with your boy Carver. Hi, this evening. Toll free, the number. That means you don't have to pay, idiot face. 844-843-6879 to wax up on the mahogany. We're pouring beverages. That would be freshies. That would be beer for you, Mr. Carver Hod loves popping cold ones, particularly on a Friday night. You can tell. All right, so what was a bigger upset? North Texas over Purdue? Or Oral Roberts in overtime over Ohio State. Of course, North Texas won in overtime as well by 9 over the Boilermakers. The game was 61 apiece at the end of regulation, and they blew them out. That is crazy. It was 61 apiece. They put 78 on them. I mean, they just absolutely destroyed Purdue. Which one's the bigger upset, Carver High?
Man, it's tough. I think I lean Ohio State just because top 10 team for a lot of the year, a lot of expectations, a higher seed with the two. I was never that sold on Purdue to begin with. Still shocking that they lost to North Texas, who I watched in that Conference USA championship game against Western Kentucky. They barely held on. I mean, they scored like 5 points in the second half. They were awful in that game. But they show up tonight, shoot the lights out, played great against Purdue, and send them home. I still lean Ohio State as the bigger shocker to me.
I got to tell you, I think it's North Texas because A, they suck, and B, they suck, and they beat Purdue. And you said it best. The Conference USA, they could barely score a basket, and they won that game on a last-second shot. And then Oral Roberts is a really good team. So they have two great guards. And you saw it on full display in that win over Ohio State. And they pretty much, in my view, they They owned the game. They were in their face the whole game. They never really were in trouble in the game. You know, Ohio State came back, and then they got the lead or whatever, and then Oral Roberts took it back from them. And I just think Oral Roberts is a really solid team. I cannot believe that the odds makers mocked them, giving them 16 and a hook. And then in this game with North Texas, I think they were getting like 7.5. I just, you know, I think that you're right about the seed. Fair enough. But I think the other team is more surprising to me because a lot of people, they had to win that Conference USA to get in. They would have never got in the tournament. And then they got in and they upset Purdue. I think Oral Roberts, for me, for my money, they're a tournament team. And North Texas just won the conference tournament and got in. I think Oral Roberts proved today how tough they can be. We welcome in our radio affiliate, SiriusXM, Mightier 1090 in San Diego near Tijuana. Do you wanna? And then, of course, Sports Map and Sports Byline, Armed Forces Radio all over the world. Hoorah, soldier, hoorah. It's Pharrell on a bench on a pain-free Friday with Carver High. Again, toll-free, 844-843-6879. Don't be soft tissue, fatty. Get on the phone. SoCal, dial it up. Dance. Where are you? Where do you hurt? You listening on Sirius? Boom. Call the show. What's the problem? Are you scared? Anyway, we got a lot of action going on in here tonight. I mean, tremendous amounts of action. I can't even begin to tell you how thick it is. Right now, Clemson up one on Rutgers right before the half. I mean, it might even be halftime now. I don't even know. Is it? Are they in a timeout or is there 43 seconds left? I don't know. They're right there. I have to tell you, I'm a little annoyed by it. It's 43 seconds left, and you know, Clemson's up one. Here's the deal: I don't understand why Rutgers celebrates all their baskets by looking up into the stands and showing off to their friends. Like every guy makes a basket, he does the whole, you know, shows his muscles. They do the grin. They got the whole facial. You know, I'm a badass. Look at me. Meanwhile, they're losing the game. What are you celebrating? I mean, first of all, Clemson sucks. And you're losing to them, and you're celebrating buckets. Like, in the first half, it's one thing to celebrate at the end of the game with 5 seconds left. You know what I mean? Like, what are you showing your muscles for? You look like an idiot. All right, Pharrell on a bench with you on a pain-free Friday. Anyway, that's what I'm saying, like before. Like, you make a basket, you're in the middle of the first half, you're in the end of the first half, and you make a basket, you're down one, and you're showing off your muscles after the basket to your, I guess, family or friends up in the stands. I mean, it's like, I could see it in a, you know, close game down the stretch, a big bucket that gets everybody up out of their seats. But I don't understand the showing off in the first half and when you're losing. I mean, you're losing the game and you're showing off. Like, you can tell that Rutgers has never been there. They look like idiots. Like, they've I thought Harper had an incredible tomahawk dunk and the foul, but he missed the free throw. But, you know, it was an incredible dunk. But, and I get how he's excited, but he's like, you know, grinning and doing the whole muscles to the crowd and like, I'm a badass, look at me. I don't get that. I really don't understand it. I mean, I just think it's immaturity. It's, they've never been there. They don't know. You know, I don't think great teams celebrate every basket they make and dance around like hyenas. I'm serious. Right now in the first half, 4:11 left It looks like Syracuse up 25-18 on San Diego State. We certainly have plenty of interest in that one. In terms of, we're on in San Diego on Mightier 1090. I know they're excited about the Aztecs being in the tournament. They're a really good team. But as usual, Syracuse gets in. They backdoor into the tournament. They were a bubble team. Perhaps going to be the first four out. But, of course, no, they get in because of Jim Boeheim's juice and because – they know what happens when Syracuse is in the NCAA tournament. They do damage, albeit they don't win it. They won it with Mello. That was it. And then every other year, they're just, they go on a run and they get involved and they do well. I won't deny that they do well. But at the end of the day, they lose too, just like everybody else. Only one team's left standing, and it's usually automatically not them. But they're in the game tonight, and they're giving San Diego State the business early, if that lead is accurate. Let me see what I got now on that game. I'm under a tremendous strain here. So it's 25-18. That was accurate. The halftime score is Clemson 26-23 on Rutgers. Nova's up 4-2 on Winthrop out of the gates. I might as well turn that game on. It looks like it's going to take them about an hour to start the West Virginia game. It's embarrassing. That game's underway. I got Villanova and Winthrop 4 apiece. And then the last game to go will be Morehead and West Virginia. Everything else is in the books or going on right now. So that's my point about Syracuse. They always do well, so they let them in, and they're doing well again tonight. And San Diego State was favored in that game. And I have to be honest, I was on Coast to Coast. I said it. I've said it on here. I took Syracuse. I think San Diego State's a better team than Syracuse. They just don't have that cachet. They don't have that NCAA tournament rap sheet like Syracuse does. They got a track record. They got a history of doing damage in the NCAA tournament. That's why they always let them in, no matter what. They don't even know what a bubble means. When there was a bubble in the NBA in Orlando last year, all the Syracuse players looked around like, what's a bubble? Because none of them know what a bubble is because they're always on the bubble, but they always get in, so they don't know what it is. They just know that they get in and they win. They usually win and go to the 32 to 16. They've, certainly been to the 8. They've been to the 4. They've won it all with Mello. I think that, and I'm going to say it, if they didn't have Mello, he'd have none, Boeheim. If he didn't have Mello, he'd have none. In other words, zero titles. In all those years he's been there. What's he been there, 40 years now? All I know is, he really has. Bob Knight was in Bloomington for 30 years. So I think Boeheim's, you could look it up, Carver High. I think he's been there close to 40 years. I could be wrong. But what do I know? All I know is that I will never forget, hopefully I will never forget, that I was at the last game that Indiana won a national championship. That night I was there on Bourbon Street in New Orleans when they beat Syracuse. They were down 13 with 3 minutes to go. Now, I will never in my life understand ever how Indiana won that game. How do you cut off a 13-point lead in 3 minutes? That is, it's just crazy. Boeheim's been there 44 years, and he's got two finals. He lost, and he won. He lost Indiana, and he won with Mello. All I know is if Mello wasn't there, he'd have none. He won because of Mello. Let's not kid ourselves. Remember when Danny Manning won at Kansas by himself? Same thing. Mello won by himself. So Here's the deal. I will never in my life, hopefully, forget being at that game when they were down 13 with 3 minutes to go and they came back. And I'll never forget Ronnie Cicely missed the, I think it was Derek Coleman missed the front end of the 1-1. Derek Coleman, who had a nice career in the NBA, but Coleman missed the front end of the 1-1. Indiana got the board. They went down. They passed it into Daryl Thomas in the block. He turned around like he was going to face the basket, pump faked, and then dished in the corner to Smart on a baseline for about a mid-range 18-footer, and he buried it. And Indiana won the game. And I've never seen anything like it. Oh, he's been to three final games?
What's yeah, he had the one in 96 with John Wallace where they lost to Kentucky in the final.
Oh, all right. I forgot about that one. They lost that one, too. It's hard for me to remember all the losses in big games for Jim Boeheim. I can't keep track of all of his losses, although I can't keep track of him being a jerk to people. That's a daily basis. That's easy work right there. He's a jerk every day of his life to everyone. He's a crusty, old, bitter man who's a miserable human being. I don't care what anybody says. Quote me on that, too. Anyone that does the things he does in those press conferences to people, to media, making fun of some guy because he's 5'2 and treating people like they're stupid because he's a basketball genius. He thinks he's some kind of savant. It's so funny. I mean, honestly, fair enough. You're a really good basketball coach. What else do you do well in life? You did a great job with Bernie Fine with the little boys he was raping. You know, with your hiring processes. All those guys you had, all them criminals you had working for you. You did a great job of that, Jim. Here we go again, Carver High. How much I hate this guy. I hate it. I hate his guts. So you just mention his name. The fact that I bet on him tonight and took Syracuse, it makes me cringe. It makes me cringe. Not only do I hate him and them, I hate everyone that went there. If you went there, I hate you too. There's people that I think I know that went there that I have had dealings with and colleagues. I hate all of those people too, just so we're clear. All right, so the thing that bothers me, and I'm going to say it again, Carver High doesn't want to hear it, but I've been around all these clowns forever, and it was the worst when I was at CBS because like 90% of the people that worked there went to Syracuse, right? And here's a little news flash for you. All these people, and now I won't deny that it's a good broadcasting school, right? I won't deny that. The new house, is that what they call it? I won't deny that it's a good broadcasting school. Fair enough. I think that I've established that opinion. I also know that Northwestern, Indiana, Missouri are all top shelf, high end, you know, all of them. It's real simple. If you want to get into journalism, you go to Syracuse, you go to Northwestern, you go to Indiana, you go to Missouri. Those are the best. Okay. And in no particular order. And here's the deal. Everyone I know, this is just my opinion now. I'm sure I'm wrong because I'm such an idiot and I'm a loser. I'm a loser, baby. So why don't you kill me? Oh, open the door, Carver High, life's cold beer now. Why don't you kill me? But all I know is this, is that everyone I know, and you can back me up on this, everyone I know that went there, that worked with us before, all of these people, there's tons of them. They're coming out of they're like cockroaches. And, you know, when the light goes on in the newsroom, they all scatter. But here's the deal. They all think they're special because they special talents because they went there. And I'm telling you, you're either good at doing radio and television or you aren't. You're either good or you aren't. You either get good by doing the work. You either grind it out and spend thousands of hours on the radio or on the TV plying your trade, and you're either talented and good or you aren't. Now, I know all these people are going to give the credit to those schools. Fair enough. But I'm here to tell you, I give Indiana no credit for anything I did. I mean, honest to God, what I did there was I got a degree. I got a degree at the Ernie Pyle School of Journalism. Fantastic. And I know that I did really well there. And I know that I got a full ride there because of my broadcasting. And ABC paid for me to go to school. And it's because I worked 60 hours a week on the radio. I worked harder than everyone else. Everyone else went to class. I went on the radio. Everyone else studied all day at the library. I went on the radio. Everybody else went to the fraternity house to dinner and then to the sorority sing-along. And I went to do overnight DJ from midnight to six nights a week. I never once had time to do anything at Indiana except work. So I worked my ass off. When I got out of Indiana, CBS hired me at 23 to be the sports director in Pittsburgh of an all-new station, and I covered the Steelers, Pirates, and Penguins, and Pitt. And it's because I was ahead of my time. But Indiana didn't make me good at broadcasting at all. The school, the journalism school, did absolutely nothing to make me better in broadcasting. And you can quote me on that. What do I give a rat's ass what any of those losers think of me now? I'm not over here like, I'm not Dick Enberg over here still getting awards from the university for all the great things I've done in the community. I'm not the guy that's going to get any of those awards ever. I'm a jerk, okay? But I'll tell you this much. I'm the coolest jerk they ever had there. And I'll tell you what, I accomplished great things in my career because I busted my ass. And also because I was willing to work anywhere, in any conditions, at any hour, any time, any day, in any city. And I traveled with a bag, and I worked everywhere. No one's worked in more big markets than me. And that's just all there is to it. You know, I hear all these people, they're all fabulous. They've worked in one place. I've worked in every great city in the country. I've worked in every great radio station in the country. I've been syndicated for 25 plus years nationally, and I did it because I busted my ass. Indiana University did absolutely nothing to help me get a job or to be great on the radio. That's the facts. Any more than Carver High, Connecticut School, there is no way I will ever listen to you tell me that you are great on the radio because of that place. You're great on the radio because the facts remain is that when you were there, they never put you on the air. You got on the air because I knew you were talented. And you can say I'm crazy, but I'm right. And then you were on the air for 50 million hours a week doing your thing, and now you're a stud. But they weren't ever going to put you on the air at CBS. You know that. Let's just stop, you know, with all the BS here. So I used to listen to all these people at Syracuse tell me how they're so gifted because they went to that school and their careers have been shaped by it. What a load of shack that is. You're either good or you aren't. You went to class, big deal. You went to school, big deal. You got your degree, big deal. Congratulations. Who didn't? Everyone knows in the world, right? You can't make it in this world, frankly. I mean, you're going to be up against the eight ball if you don't get a degree. You're going to be up against the eight ball if you don't go to college. If you just think you're going to make it and be some huge star doing something in your career, frankly, I mean, you know I'm telling it like it is, Carver High. What, you go to high school and then you just, what, you become the CEO at some major corporation right out of high school? You never go to college? You don't get an education at all? Listen, when I was at Indiana, they made me take hundreds of BS classes. I mean, what a waste of time that was. You know what it was? It was the biggest flush of money I've ever seen in my life. Everyone goes to these schools and all they do is drain you for money. Like, I took classes like psychology and you know, what are some of the other stupid ones they make you take, Carver? Do you remember any of them? Like those freshman, sophomore classes they make you take in college? Like, I had to take a language and stuff like this. Are you kidding me? Like, I'm taking Spanish. Like, who gives a rat's ass if I can speak Spanish or not in the real world? Honestly, I love Spanish. I can speak it. I've lived in L.A. I can speak it. I've been to the Dominican 5 million times. I've been to Mexico 5 million times. I can get through it, right? But I didn't get through it because I went to Indiana and they forced me to take a language class or a psychology or a math class and all their other stupid classes they make you take. Waste of time. Absolute waste of time. All they do is suck the money out of you. You pay what? Every semester you pay $2,000-$3,000 for books? I never read a book in my life at Indiana. I didn't have books. When they gave me that money for books, I went and bought a bag of weed. Do you think I got time to read books? I was working 60, 70 hours a week on the radio. I made it because I busted my ass. And everyone I know that thinks they made it because they were in some broadcasting school. Great. They taught you how to hit the buttons. Great. They told you how to, you know, do your all news report or your, you know, the murder report or, you know, they made me take J law. Like, I'm like, that's the funniest thing ever. They made me at Indiana take journalism law. It took me 3 times to pass it. That's how hard it was. Right. And I'm like, I said to the guy, you know, he said to me one day, he goes, you think you'll ever graduate? I said, I don't know, because your class sucks so bad and I'm so bored taking it that I don't know how I'm ever going to get a C in this thing. I mean, every time I come in here, I'm sleeping because you're worse than morphine, dude. No wonder I got D's and F's. But the fact of the matter remains, I don't believe for 1 minute that I got here because of broadcasting, journalism school, or Indiana University, or Syracuse, or any of this other nonsense. I mean, honestly, Carver High, can you even argue with me about that? Like, I mean, I know you may not respect what I said, but I think I know why you're great on the radio. I never heard you on the radio once when I worked at CBS. Did I? He's not even on the air right now. That's the problem. I just am realizing this now. He's been knocked off the air all night. I'm doing the show by myself. He can't even comment on his career. He's not even here. I just figured that out right now. Roger, we got a situation. Roger, Romeo, Whiskey, Velveeta. Roger, lard ass. We have no Carver High at all. Roger, 18, Romeo, Whiskey. So anyway, I think that I'll just answer for him. No, he didn't ever get on the air there. Listen, I'm not taking credit for Carver High. Oh, there he is. Now you're on. Now you're here. Oh, he won't. Is it that you won't comment on the situation? Is that what it is? Or were you off the air?
What are you talking about?
He has no idea what I'm even talking about. Have you been knocked off all this time? All right, there you go. What I was saying is that I think that you became great on the radio working with me because I let you do your thing. And when you were at CBS for all those years, they never put you on the air ever.
Yeah.
Well, who did? Tell me the truth. Who put you on the air? Did they ever let you do shows? Did they ever let you talk?
No, where did this come from? No, what?
No, so you missed the whole conversation. I've been talking about, I did not get where I am today because I went to Indiana University or because I was in journalism school or because all these clowns went to Syracuse and think they're special or that you went to Connecticut school and that made you great. You got great with airtime. You got great being on the air with me the last 10 years. That's all there is to it. All right, Brill on the Bench. Carver High's had to deal with all kinds of technical issues tonight. He's in a very foul mood all of a sudden, and that's all right. But what I'm saying is, in essence, is that I don't bemoan at all going to school. That's not my point. I think it's crucial that you go and experience it and go through it. And I think it's a lot harder in the world to make it without an education. I think that you have to go do it and experience it and be a part of it and, you know, soak it all in. And I think that they give you the skills and the training to, I guess, go out in the real world. That's fine and dandy. And I don't doubt that. You know, you go to, like, let's say you go to the Indiana University Kelly School of Business. By the time you're done going to that school, you're going to get a good job in the business world because that's a great business school, and they teach you how to do everything in business. It's very hard. It's a very difficult business school. And they have many schools around the country that are like this, that have certainly honed their reputations on certain things. Duke, whatever. You can go on and on. Stanford, Notre Dame. You can go. Michigan is a great school. Ohio State's a great school. All these schools. I go on and on. USC, UCLA. They're all great schools. Cal Berkeley. Boom, boom, boom. You know, Miami is a private school. Very good school. Very hard. And I think certain things you actually can go, and I believe firmly, you know, you go to law school, you go to med school, you do everything. You get the training and the education and the experience that you need to be, you know, successful in life. There's no doubt about it. But in radio and television, I firmly believe there was not one person. And I went to one of the best journalism schools in the country. There was not one person there that influenced me in a way that made me a better broadcaster. It's just that simple. And maybe it was the luck of the draw. Maybe I'm just saying that, not to be a mean person or a jerk. I'm just telling you that I got my experience by being on the air. I got it by working and being on every day, every night, overnights, mornings, afternoon drive. I did it over and over and over 50 million times. And then when I was 23 and I got out, I got hired by CBS because I was ahead of my time. It wasn't because I went to Ernie Pyle's School of Journalism. Not one time in my entire career. I've been doing this like over 35 years. From the day I was 18, I've been doing it. I'm 55. And I've done it nationally for most of my career. Not one person ever asked me the entire career. Not one person ever asked me where I went to college. Not one ever. They never, ever, no one even brought it up. They just want to know, where have you worked? What have you done? Let's hear it. Let's see it. Let's see the tape. Let's listen to the tape. Let's see your work. What have you done? Where have you been on? What's your experience? You can't say, well, I went to journalism school. They're going to laugh you out of the building. No one cares that you went to journalism school. No one cares that you went to broadcasting school. Did you broadcast? Did you do it? Have you been on the air? How much? How long? Where'd you work? What have you done? What shifts did you do? Let's hear it. Boom. Carver High, don't even tell me. People said, hey, where'd you go to school, Mike? They want to know what you've done. They want to know where you've worked and show me what you've done. Show me what you've accomplished. Do you have a name? Have you made a name for yourself in the business? And how long have you been doing it? Have you been on the air? What do you do? What is your role? You're an executive producer. Well, what does that entail? They never ask you where you go to college. They never do. People, I think kids in college think that that's going to happen, that they're going to get out of school and everyone's going to start asking them about their college education and where they went and how it went. And no one gives a rat's ass. That's just all there is to it. I think you got good on the air being on the air. It's as simple as that. You're funny. You got a great sense of humor. You know your sports. And you got on the air. You got your chance to be on the air. And you ran with it. And then, you know, now you're doing TV on top of radio. But, you know, I've never been shy to tell you. I didn't think they were going to put you on an afternoon drive on The Fan. They didn't look at you that way. But I think that once you got on the air and did your thing, I think they were shocked that you could actually do it. And they didn't know what to think. Because they're so close-minded with who gets the opportunities, who gets the gig. It's so closed. That country club is so closed out to people that they just screw people over is what they do. And then you never get a chance. And the difference is that, you know, most of the guys that have worked with me in my career forever, I've always had the open mic. I've always had the policy of letting everybody shine and do their thing. And it is what it is. You can say butter your own bread, whatever you want. There isn't one guy that has worked with me that hasn't amounted to something and that hasn't become successful in broadcasting because they were on the air with me for 5 million hours. You've been on the air with me nonstop for the last 10 years. I mean, who are you kidding? Before honestly, no one wants to hear it, but It's true. Before that, you weren't doing that. That wasn't your job. It wasn't your role. I get it. But I made you see that you had all this talent, in my opinion, to go on here and do your thing. And then once you got great at it, then everybody else saw it. And then they're like, oh, my God, he's great at doing it. And then even then they would say, oh, I'd be like, I'm going on vacation. Oh, we got to get someone else to do the show. And then I'd be like, why don't you just let them do it? Because they're the ones that everyone knows the most. The producers know the audience the best. The audience knows them the best. You know them the best. It's the best show because you just pick up where I leave off always. And it's a kick-ass show. And I think that's why it's simple. I think that's why you become successful at doing it. Because you just got on the air and started doing it and showing what you were made of. And if we left it to their devices, you would have never got on the air. It's that simple. I was lucky because at 23, I had already done it 5 million hours and I'd already shown what I was made of. And then everyone, I had tapes and I had the proof. And then when I got my shot to go on the air at CBS in Pittsburgh, I knocked it out of the park. The guy gave me a week to show what I was made of. I think I got the job the first day. He goes, I'll give you a week on the air. And I think after the first morning drive, he knew he had a problem on his hands that I was going to take over. And that's exactly what I did. And I went from there. Let's just face facts. I went from there and boom, boom, boom. Next thing I knew, I was working in national radio and TV. And we all know what happened after that. I've been doing it ever since. So I think it's just getting a shot, right? I think it's getting a shot, getting an opportunity, and proving what you can do. And I don't think, you know, people can say all they want. They can disagree with me all they want. But I know all these people that think they go to, you know, broadcasting school, that think they're so special because they went to that school. And I don't think the best talents I've ever been around, you know, it's even Howard Stern. I worked for Howard for 8 years. I'm certain, like, he'll tell you, you know, he went to BU and he'll tell you that, you know, he did all the, college, please. When he was in college, he was a complete dork. And when he got out, he was a complete dork. But then, you know, the story, Carver High, if you watch his movie, that's all true. He just started working his ass off everywhere, right? DC, wherever, Detroit. He worked his ass off and then he got in New York and the rest is history. You have to just get your shot is what it's about. It had nothing to do with BU or Indiana or Syracuse or Connecticut school or any of that. I just don't believe that. I don't believe it. I think it's show me what you're made of, and then you get your shot and you prove it. And you show people what you're made of, and you're either good or you aren't. Simple as that. And then I work for all these, you know, programmers that think they're geniuses too. And because they're in management or something, or they got some kind of special skills about broadcasting. I mean, give me a break. Honestly, don't humiliate yourself around me. Don't try to fool me with all that rhetoric. I've heard all that I can take for the last 35 years, listening to these geniuses tell me how to do radio. Whatever. Christ almighty. Don't get me started on that. I'll get fired. Don't get me started talking about people I don't like, Carver High. I'll get fired. I'll get fired if I start talking about people I've worked for. Some of the geniuses I've worked for. The know-it-alls I've worked for. You know what I did? Just so we're clear, I tortured all of them. I was no different than Howard. I tortured every one of them. Tortured them. I made them all want to drink and kill themselves. By the time I was done with you... It was like getting put in the washer and dryer. You got cleaned out. Syracuse up 34-18 on San Diego State at the start of the second half. What do you think of that, Carver High? The Cuse putting a beating on the Aztecas.
Yeah, they've had big problems with the zone here. They look like they've never seen it before. They've only had a week to prepare for it and watch hours and hours of tape. But I guess that's not good enough for the Aztecs. They can't make a shot. They can't stop anything. I mean, this kid, Boeheim's son, has hit about 600 threes. So it's just not going well. It would be nice if the Aztecs picked it up here in the second half and actually, I don't know, made a couple of baskets.
Here's another thing I think I'm right about. Can we do another? I just want to do one more thing I'm right about. I don't, because I'm never right about anything, but I'm right about the broadcasting. Secondly, I'm right about this. And tell me I'm wrong, and I'll buy you a ham sandwich. Here's a deal, like a really big hoagie with vinegar on it and salt and pepper, like a really big giant hoagie. So when you said that they've watched hours of film, right? And they've had a week to study it and watch the film and, you know, go to meetings about the zone defense, San Diego State sitting around watching films. Here's one thing I've also learned to be true. When you get a bunch of, like, let's say 15 kids together that like play basketball for, you know, your school or for the high school or the middle school or the college or the pros, they make them go to the film session. And they watch film for a couple hours every day, and then they go practice, right? I just wanted to tell you that this is what I'm right about right here. The players pay attention for about 5% of the meeting. And the rest of the meeting, they're on their phone texting their girlfriends and ordering food and playing video games in silent in their earbuds, not listening to one word the coach says. The attention span of college basketball players watching game film is that of a boar hog. Carver High, would you dispute that assessment? They had a week to watch the film. Looks like that film session paid off really well for them that they didn't pay 1 second of attention to because they're getting their ass beat.
Well, then it's just like everything else you've just been talking about. You don't watch the film and you don't put in the work, you're going to lose. And that's what's happening to them tonight. You don't want to put the work in. You want to play on the phone. Now you're going to lose. Right. You're going to lose to Syracuse. That's the way that it goes. You don't want to watch the film. They're the only team in the country that plays this dopey zone. You got thousands of hours of film. You don't want to watch it, then you lose. That's just the way it goes.
It's a clamp down zone, Carver High. It is a great zone. It is the best zone ever. There's one thing they do at Syracuse, and that's they teach the zone defense. Boeheim and his assistants are great at teaching the zone defense. They only have one defense there, only one. Many schools have multiple defensive sets, multiple defensive plans, multiple game plans. Syracuse has one plan and one plan only. Clamp down zone, you lose in the NCAA tournament to the Orange. All right, Carver High, let me ask you another question. When you saw Tom Izzo with his pathetic press conference where he denied everything and said that it was the media's fault, that the media drums it up and the media makes it up, that he's lighting up Brown after the half on the floor and in the tunnel was all fabricated by the media, that it was nothing at all. It was him telling him that he missed a switch. And that is the biggest crock of Shaq I've ever heard, because he screamed and yelled at him on the floor. Then he grabbed his jersey and pulled him when the kid wasn't listening to him. The kid's like, I don't care what you say to me, old man. And then he walked away, turned his back and walked away from him. That's when Izzo grabbed him. And then the kid ran off so he couldn't, you know, he's too heavy. The kid's big. He's a monster. He's like 6'7". And, you know, Izzo's tiny. And he tore away from him and ran up the tunnel. And then Izzo started screaming at him some more. And then finally the kid turned around. And you know when he turned around, Carver High, that kid looked at him and said, listen, bro, I'm about to snap you in two, old man. Because that's exactly what I saw. Don't tell me that was some nothing conversation. And it was just a switch miss. That guy is nuts. He has gone off the deep end in his older age. He's no different than Bob Knight when he was at Bloomington at the end, when everybody started saying he was crazy and he was a lunatic and that he was going to choke a kid and hit a kid and he was throwing things and he was insane. And Tom Izzo's no different. He's no different at all. In fact, I think Izzo's just as bad, if not worse now, than Knight was. Screaming and yelling at kids now. It happened a couple years ago, and he laughed that off. It happened last night. He laughed that off. We'll hear what Carver High thinks when I come back.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner. So you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
What does VA mean to me?
A place for my daughter to call home. Thanks to the VA home loan.
A new lease on life. The best healthcare team I've ever had is here at VA.
And education and the opportunity to open doors I never thought possible with my GI Bill.
The financial support I need to manage the disabilities I developed because of my service.
Get what you earn. Visit choose.va.gov.
Not all veterans are eligible for the type or amount of benefits mentioned here.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.